Good morning, everyone. It's all right. I come from the Barossa Valley. It's another time zone there, about 150 years ago. I joke, partly. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Noel. I serve the district, South Australian Northern Territory District, and also do some wider ministry amongst the Lutheran Churches of Australia. And Bishop David has asked whether I would be able to stand in for him today. I do so with great joy, and it's an enormous honour to be able to preach at the installation service of any pastor, but in particular to preach at the installation service of this pastor. I've got to know Ben a little over the time that I have been working in this district, and you people are in for a treat. You have been blessed with a man who loves the Lord and loves his word, and he will love you. Please love him back and his family. They need all of the love and the support that they can get. For those of you who may not understand what's happening in a little while's time when we have the installation, behind the public ministry of a pastor stands an agreement, a covenantal relationship between the pastor and this congregation, which is overseen by the bishop and the district, in this case, South Australian Northern Territory Bishop and District. When you hear the words of that installation, if you've not heard one before, you may think it reminds me a bit of my marriage vows. And indeed it is a little bit like a marriage, because it is a covenantal relationship where each pledges to the other and promises to the other certain things before God, which only God could enable them to promise. Right at the head of those lists of things which this pastor promises to do for this congregation is the promise to labour hard in the teaching and the preaching of the word. There are many other things that are listed, but all the other things, in one way or another, either flow from or hinge on or relate to that prime head of being the preaching, teaching, apostolic messenger in this congregation. And so it's that central focus of the preaching and teaching ministry of the pastor that I want to comment on and encourage you in and encourage Ben in today. You can see the sermon title there, When Preaching Doesn't Make Sense. And you might think, yep, that's my world, every Sunday. What I'm going to be saying today is not an excuse, Ben, for lazy preparation, by which you produce confusing sermons that no one can follow, and therefore think that the more confusing, the better it is somehow. I've heard many sermons like that. Nor is it an excuse for lazy listening. It's very easy to come to church and to demand that the pastor perform for us, so to speak, and that he constantly lower the barrier so that things become more and more and more simple, easier to understand. In fact, both the preaching and the hearing of the gospel are spiritual works. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning at verse 13. And we speak these things in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual things to those who are spiritual. And then hear this. Those who are unspiritual do not receive the gifts of God's Spirit, for they are foolishness to them, and they are unable to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. They are unable to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. So both the preaching task and the hearing task are dependent on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I have good news and bad news for you today. The bad news is this: understanding the things of the kingdom of God is not difficult. It's impossible. It's not difficult. It's impossible. The good news is this: understanding the things of the kingdom of God is not difficult. It's impossible. How can that be good news? It's good news because it weans you off the dependence on your own ability and will and intellect, and it weans you off that sort of performance anxiety that you might put Ben under every week to come up with an even more spectacular sermon that is even more rhetorically rounded and full of persuasive words of eloquent wisdom. In fact, the Apostle Paul would counsel us not to go down that route in any way at all, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. The good news is that we need the Holy Spirit to take that word, which is even written in the Scriptures, and cause it to live for us, to be a living, abiding, understandable word in our ears and even more in our hearts. That good news, therefore, shuts us up to God. There will be a honeymoon period here. There always is. Might last 6 weeks, 6 months, could last 6 minutes, depending on how the rest of the service goes. But one of the things that happens in that honeymoon period is there's a certain unspoken sense of expectation that this pastor, this time, is going to fulfill all our needs. It's a bit like what happens when a young couple get married, and I used to do pre-marriage counselling when I was working as a pastor, and you'd see these young people sitting on the couch opposite you with doe eyes just full with one another, and here's this old bald-headed fellow trying to tell them that things are going to get tough, and they look at you as if to say, "What do you know? What planet are you from?" Because they come into that relationship with a set of false expectations that this person is going to fill all of my needs, and I'm never going to feel the loss of joy or the loss of romance. I've seen a couple of older couples looking at one another here. I'm not sure what I should make of that. You heard the old story about Hans and Helga. You know how some German families are not particularly don't display their emotions particularly well. Well, after their 25th wedding anniversary, Helga says, "Hans, when we got married on our honeymoon, you told me that you loved me. And these last 25 years, you have never said it again." And Hans says, "Helga, I told you once. When I changed my mind, I let you know." I don't know if that look amongst some of the couples was that sort of conversation. But what Ben and you are doing here is entering into a relationship, and there'll be an unspoken expectation perhaps from the congregation here that Ben will be able to solve all your problems, that Ben will be your saviour, that Ben will be the best preacher you've ever had, that Ben will make sermons very sensible and very accessible, and that now that Ben has come, your future is assured. You will find very quickly that Ben is just an ordinary man with feet of clay. And vice versa, it's possible that Ben might think in this new situation, you people are without spot and wrinkle and blemish. That, in fact, is the way you are before God in his view of you, and it's the way you will be in eternity, but in the reality of your day-to-day life, you're not quite there yet. So there's a sense of you coming together. You will get to know one another. You will get to love one another and serve with one another. But the most important thing in all of your relationships is that you continue to hear the word of God. Not just with your physical ears. And don't demand that Ben keep dumbing things down to make it simple, but you engage in the spiritual exercise of hearing the word of God with the Spirit, through the Spirit, by the Spirit, because the things that we teach under the heading of the kingdom of God are spiritually understood. Now, you will notice in the reading today from the gospel, there is a repeated phrase, the kingdom of heaven is like, the kingdom of heaven is like, the kingdom of heaven is like. Jesus prefaced nearly all of his parables with that statement. And even those parables or those segments of teaching that don't have that direct statement, either the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God, they are actually contrasting the difference between things as they are in the reign and rule of God and things as they are on this world. So the weight of Jesus' parables falls on the difference, not the similarity. So let me take one example. A little later in Matthew's gospel, you will come to read of the parable of the labourers in the vineyard. Do you remember that? And the people who start working at 6 o'clock in the morning agree to a denarius, that is a full day's wage. And then at various points during the day, the landowner sends out his servants to bring others in. Do you remember that parable? And then some come in at 5 o'clock. So by the time they get from the marketplace, get kitted out, get their shears ready, line up along the vines, they've got quarter of an hour to work before knock-off time. And then it's knock-off time. So then it's payday. And so the landowner asks them to be lined up. And the people who come last get paid first. And how much do they get? A full day's wage. And what do you do? Yeah, I'm not asking what the people in the parable did because they're all you. You complain. You say it's not fair. And to be honest, if you had to run your business like that, you'd go bankrupt. You can't give someone a full day's wage for 15 minutes work. And that is the very point. The kingdom of heaven has got nothing in common with the kingdoms of this world. The way in which the kingdom of heaven operates is not subject to the powers and principalities that we use in this world. And so for this congregation, and for Ben now being installed as its pastor, there is one main thing for you to do, and that is to hear the word of the kingdom of God and to proclaim that word to the world, because there is no one else who can do it. We have dentists who can fill teeth, thanks be to God, and doctors who can heal people. We have political representatives here today, council representatives. We have economics experts. We have folk who can lead our military. But none of them, unless they're believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, can preach the kingdom of God. That is why the task that Ben's given and you as a church have together to share in is unique, because you are being asked to proclaim to a world the news of a kingdom which it neither sees nor understands. And to make that task even more challenging, so to speak, we've already told you it's spiritually understood, so it is impossible to communicate that kingdom without the spiritual power of God himself bringing that word through to the hearts of men and women. We can't cut and dice the ministry of the church and turn it into a five-step easy process that you can then just reproduce everywhere. It is a deep mystery. It is a deep, deep mystery. So in the preaching, there is a spiritual hearing that is necessary. And that spiritual hearing is the key to your life as a congregation. Paul says in another place when he's speaking about the burden that he carries as his ministry, describes it this way. We proclaim Christ, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. And for this, I toil and struggle with all the energy with which He powerfully supplies me. So Ben will work hard in understanding the mysteries of the kingdom and preaching the gospel and teaching it and bringing it through to you in the full counsel of God. But all that hard work that he does also will have to be by the grace of God. And you, as you hear, owe it to him to hear with spiritual ears and to embrace with the heart filled with the Holy Spirit, as Paul says in another place to the Ephesians, I pray that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened so that you would understand what is the hope of his calling and the riches of his inheritance with the saints. And then he goes on to explain, so that you may comprehend, here's the paradox, so that you may comprehend the incomprehensible love of God. So that you may, as a spiritual hearer, understand that which cannot be understood by any means, you can comprehend the incomprehensible. And as you do that, something marvelous happens. God builds a new community which looks different from anything else the world can build. He builds a community that is shaped by the Spirit of the kingdom, who preaches that kingdom through Ben into your hearts and who enables your heart to hear that. He builds a kingdom-shaped community that can come by no other way. And then, should the Lord give Ben strength over the next 5 or 10 or 15 years, you'll find something else happening. You'll find that you will be built up for gifts in ministry, and you will become a flexible but multi-talented, spiritually gifted and attuned people, so that you may not be pastor-centric. The aim of this installation is so that Ben can do himself out of a job. So that as that marvelous spiritual work of preaching and hearing and spirit transformation through the word takes place, there can be a body which builds itself up in love, and so that everyone can be equipped fully for the work of ministry to which God has called them. So that's why this installation is really important. And that's why the first phrase in the covenants that we agree together today, it's really central to the unfolding of the ministry that's before us. And Ben, if I can say this, it matters a lot because these people matter to God. When we read the parables, it's very easy to read them just with the eyes that we would use as we read any other story. In the ancient world, pearls were very rare. We're clever. We can culture them. And cultured pearls, even the very best ones, are not particularly rare. But in the ancient world, perfectly shaped, large, round pearls were exceptionally rare and valued above all else. So when Jesus wanted to illustrate something of exceptional value, he used a perfect pearl, a pearl of great price. And a merchant discovers one and realizes how valuable it is, and he sells everything he has so he can get it because it's worth more than anything he could ever imagine. Now, we can be tempted to read that parable through the paradigm of our own normal human interactions, and we can take the message home from that. See, the kingdom of God is worth so much. You've got to devote yourself to it, commit yourself to it. Above all else, you've got to desire this before anything else in your life. And you could perhaps read it that way. But I don't think that's why it's there. Because in all the other parables of the kingdom, the actors and the central figures and images are all what God is doing in heaven, and I think it means this. God in heaven has set his affection on a pearl of such extreme value and indescribable beauty and mind-blowing glory that he would give everything he has for it. And we read in Romans 8 that that's exactly what he's done. He has abandoned up his son for us. What was more precious to God than his son? Beloved, you, we, the church, is the pearl of great price. God has sold everything he has for you. That's why this congregation matters. That's why your preaching ministry matters. That's why the ministry of this congregation to the community matters. You've perhaps never thought of yourself like that. Perhaps you've never thought of the church like that. But when you think that God has emptied his coffers, like not just of physical wealth, but has emptied his coffers of his own son, that's what the kingdom of heaven is like. If you're hearing that, you can only hear it by the ministry of the Spirit. If the bells are starting to ring, it can only happen because the Spirit must be teaching you, because these things cannot be understood by any other means. So as we continue together in the rite of installation after we sing, may it be that the Lord himself, the Holy Spirit, would unite our hearts, not just to one another, not just between pastor and congregation, but unite our hearts in love for him and his word, because he has done all for us to make us what we need to be, fitted, the pearl of great price, for the community that he has yet to bring in. It's a wonderful ministry to be part of. So may the Lord bless you and keep you, and may he grant by his Spirit's power these words to be living in our hearts and our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen.